Wonderful. Thank you to the band, Tim, for leading that. I beat you back, Joel. I beat you back. Jesus had a very distinctive mission when he came to earth. 3 years of serving, 3 years of showing God's love and giving his life that we might live. But Jesus also had a vision for this world. What he wanted his followers, what he wanted his church, what he wanted us to become. Vision's a very interesting word. Vision is a mental picture of a desired future. It's a picture that can be seen of what is not yet, but of what can be. Jesus knew what he wanted it to be. He could see that. Our job is to follow his vision. And he regularly spoke about those expectations, not just in the passage that we're going to look at briefly this morning. Lots of times he set out a vision. Sometimes these verses that Linda read are called the Great Commission. And the Duke of Wellington called them the marching orders of the church. Here's the context. 11 disciples, gone through an awful lot in the last few weeks of their life. They've seen their master die. They've seen their master come back to life. They've met their master. And now, this moment, he is leaving them. And he kind of says to them, no more hesitant doubt, you lot. On your marks, get set. What comes next? Go. It's a movement word. It's an action thing. It's a verb. And Jesus' vision for us is to go. And go they did. They gossiped the gospel. They left that mountainside and they were off. They didn't go and go, oh, well, that was very nice the last 3 years. Thank you very much, Jesus. Oh, we'll just get on back to a bit of fishing, back to a bit of tax collecting, wheeling, dealing, whatever. No, they went. They went and talked the gospel. And Jesus says to all nations, not just Jerusalem then, and all nations is kind of generic term for absolutely anywhere and everywhere. Your school, your office, your Sainsbury's queue, your football team that you play in, your bridge club, your pickleball group, your whatever. Go. Back in 1886, this very handsome Dr. John Pemberton, he concocted a caramel-coloured syrup, and it was in a three kind of legged brass kettle, and it was distributed in a jug all the way back in 1886, and it became known as Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. 135 years later, surveys say that 99% of the world have heard of Coca-Cola. 75% of the world have seen a can of Coca-Cola. And 55% of the world has tasted Coca-Cola. Don't ask me how they worked out that percentage. All I know is because of the commitment, they went and told everyone on the planet to taste their soft drink. In other words, go, go, go. 155 years ago, Mr. Spurgeon and his mates sat in a pub and had the vision to start a Baptist congregation. They got the go bit. And here we are as a result of their go. And there's a Japanese proverb, I like this one. Vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. Yes. Jesus' vision was for us to go. But not just go. He put an and in. Jesus' vision for us is to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. I just love the fact that Jesus doesn't say, go and make purple chair sitters or just churchgoers. He doesn't say, go and do that. He says, no. He says, go and make disciples. It's a big difference. A disciple is a pupil of a teacher. So he's saying to them, go and make pupils of a teacher. People that are following what Jesus says. And at the very heart of what we're doing this morning is that we've seen that Joel has become a disciple. And you know what? Jesus didn't say, that's it. Once you've come to Jesus, you can sit down, put your feet up on the purple chairs, and just eternity is secure. He didn't say that we've ever finished learning as a disciple. He didn't ever say that a disciple doesn't need to keep growing and learning, because they do. Let's never, ever be those people that think we know everything about faith. That we've got it all nicely in a box and we shove it in the corner. Never. Always let's be growing, growing and growing. Go and make disciples. Job done. No. Jesus' vision for his disciples is baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Exactly what we did in the water just now. At the heart of Jesus' vision is what we've watched this morning. And so maybe this morning you're wondering, well, what is all that really? What is that about? I mean, these baptisms, you know, what's wrong with a little bit of water thrown over the head? Well, they do it a bit dramatically, don't they? Why on earth was Joel prepared to be submerged in a pool of water by two women? Just not normal behaviour from Sarah, no. But what is happening is that baptism is identifying with Jesus. Jesus himself was baptized, and it identifies us as a follower of Jesus. I asked Joel those questions. Do you believe in Jesus? I'm punching the air in excitement. He said yes. It's identifying with Jesus. It's also being obedient and teaching them, there we go, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. I love this, because we love obedience, don't we? If any of you have got a dog, you know, here it says, it's dog obedience school, and it says, okay, are you ready for your final exam? And here we have, lurching round the corner, are two very obedient dogs. I haven't got a picture to see what happened, but you understand what I mean by the word obey. It's being obedient. It doesn't say you have to be obedient to know everything, but being a disciple. The challenge to us is, are we being obedient? Are we being obedient to all that Jesus tells us in his word? It's not about knowing everything. It's about being able to use what you know to be a disciple in God's kingdom. And if you're a disciple this morning and you haven't had that moment where you've publicly made that profession of faith and said you're a believer, then could I just challenge you to be baptized? I'd love it if Noel had to spend every weekend till July the 31st filling that baptistry up with water. Because to me, baptism is superb. Believer's baptism is also a start of something new. There's a lot of clever symbolism going on there in the water this morning. It's bye-bye past and hello future. Joel came down one side of the baptistry and he went out the other side. One side represents his old life and one side represents his new life. This is how the Bible puts it. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You saw that Joel was totally submerged in the water. And Sarah was a bit worried this week when we were talking about whether we'd actually get his head under. I said, don't worry, Sarah, we just do that. Submerge him. Submerge him right under the water. And all went to plan, and he came up again. So he was raised to that new life. Jesus was buried for 3 days. Fortunately, Joel was only under there for a few seconds because he gave Sarah and me enough dosh to bring him back up again. So Joel, this is the beginning of a new chapter in your discipleship. You're not going to go out of here today and be squeaky keen Saint Joel, but you go out as an obedient disciple. And I know that God is going to use you in ways that will blow your mind, especially with that haircut. You're really going to do stuff. What do a church, a plane, and a bicycle all have in common? Simple. If either stops moving forward, you're in trouble. Church, EBC, we need to move forward. Not rest on our past, not just be about our present, but we are moving forward all the time. Jesus' vision is for us to go. Jesus' vision is for us to go and to make disciples. Jesus' vision is for his disciples to be baptized. But there's one more bit of Jesus' vision. Jesus' vision for his disciples has a we. Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a wonderful promise. We go with the knowledge that Jesus is with us. Matthew started his gospel by talking about Emmanuel, God is with us. And he closes his gospel with that same thought, that he is with us. We are promised his presence, not just occasionally, not just every now and again, not because it's a baptism or a church anniversary or Mother's Day, but all the time. And the vision is also about one another. The world is changing all around us. To continue to thrive in a business over the next 10 years and beyond, we must look ahead. Understand the trends and forces that will shape our business in the future and move swiftly to prepare for what's to come. We must get ready for tomorrow today. And that is why our band here, our teenagers, they're not tomorrow's church. They're today's church as well. We're all together. Now look at that statement. Could be a church statement, couldn't it? Could be our vision statement. But in actual fact, a few years ago, it was Coca-Cola's. The world is changing all around us. Notice all the times that it says we. We must look ahead. We must get ready for tomorrow today. Notice the we. No managing director of any company says I. because it's collective. It's all of us together. All of us. Jesus' vision for EBC is for all of us to go and make disciples, to be baptized, and to be obedient. And if we haven't got hold of the we, then come and see me after school and I'll explain it again and again and again. Because it's together. It's the leadership and the membership and the reggers. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen indeed. We're going to stand for our final song this morning. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord.